The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
And welcome back to the Business News Hour. In studio with us for this second half hour is our friend Pete D'Alessandro. He is one of six individuals that is seeking to represent Iowa in November against the incumbent, and he's got a battle. I mean, there's six people in total that he is on the Democratic side that he's running against, and we have had now five of the six. Pete makes the sixth of the six into the News Hour to talk about, well, themselves and policy issues. Pete, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Mike. Good to be here.
All right. Let's start to go down the policy area. We had a news story today that Amazon has just made the decision to start to sell to Medicaid recipients their Prime at $5.99 a month, okay, Prime membership. Now, what's interesting about that, just as you know, not very long ago, it was Amazon and it was the Oracle of Omaha,
Warren Buffett,
Berkshire Hathaway, and J.P. Morgan Chase that are talking about, let's form our own insurance thing. So let's go first to healthcare and healthcare insurance, because that seems to be in the mind of everybody. What's Pete D'Alessandro say?
The thing that you just talked about is the first part of where we get to the answer. When folks like that start putting groups together like that, what they're telling us is it's not a sustainable system right now. The health access system. There's not enough access, and it's not sustainable for businesses, and it's not sustainable certainly for the lack of care that the American citizen is getting. I read somewhere that GM last year spent more money on health care for their employees than they did on steel. So in other words, they are a healthcare provider that makes things.
That makes cars.
Think about that. It's not a sustainable system. My answer to it is, and I think we have to be bold, I think Democrats and progressives have to be bold about this and a lot of other issues, is I think it's a Medicare for all system to get to the solution. That is the solution. Medicare for all would be the solution to the problem of guaranteeing, again, to use that word, the dignity of healthcare to every American. And what I say about that is people, and you're hearing this less and less, actually, Mike, is that it's some type of radical idea. And the reason that doesn't resonate is Medicare is the most successful social program in the history of the world. And it's successful because this country had the will and the forbearance to do it. And we are now working on our second generation of seniors who are living in that dignity because we were big enough, strong enough in the right ways of big and strong to provide that for them. All those of us that advocate Medicare for All is saying is we're going to take the most successful program that has guaranteed and provided dignity for so many of our fellow citizens, and we're going to expand it to make sure that every citizen gets to live in that same dignity. Now, that's, to me, enough. That's what we should be shooting for as a society, is to enhance the amount of people that are living at their best, in not only in dignity, but to be able to reach their full potential. But there's other values to this. There's other things that will happen if we do a Medicare for All system. We would unleash the next generation of entrepreneurs in this country if we had a Medicare for All system.
Explain that.
The one thing that's keeping so many people back, that 21 or 22-year-old that might have a kid already. You know, he's working hard. She's working hard. But, man, they want to start that. They got an idea for a company they want to start. But they can't, because they can't take the chance that they're going to lose their – because they have a kid. And you want to take care of your family. So they lose that option to do it. Think of how many businesses would expand and hire more people at $15 an hour. But we'll talk about that in a second. How many more people they'd be able to expand their businesses to if they didn't have to provide health care to their employees. And so now that becomes money back into their pool, which could mean they're expanding their business too. The one thing I'll say is, if you look throughout history, when we've had those periods of great expansion in this country, and it's been good for the rest of the world when we do it, is when we do unleash that entrepreneurial spirit. I think Medicare for All would do it. I really do.
All right. I'm going to push back on that just a little bit because the thing that you'll hear from most individuals is, wait. We don't have the money to do this. We don't have the finances. How in the world are you going to pay for something like that?
Let me give you a 30,000-foot answer because I think it's about how we view government. It is maddening, and I'll use that word to me, that when we want to go to war, when someone decides, we're gonna go into Iraq, and we'll deal with how we're gonna pay for it later because this is so important that we'll deal with the wallet issues later. And here we are, almost a generation later now. As hard as that is, it seems to believe.
How's that going for us?
Yeah, but we can do it then. But when we're talking about expanding a system in which our citizens here in our country can live in dignity, somehow that philosophy is not the same philosophy of, let's make sure everyone has the dignity of good health care. And we'll pay for it. We'll figure it out. We always have. Now, how will we pay for it, though? Here's the thing. These are some what I would call neutral studies. These aren't necessarily left or right wing think tanks that have done it. With the taxing that it would take to put this system together to expand Medicare, the average family would actually have somewhere between $3,800 and some say as high as $7,000 more in their pocket every year. And the reason for that is businesses would have about a 6% tax that would be levied on them. But again, they're not paying for all that other insurance.
They're not paying for health care insurance.
It'd be about a 2.5% on your payroll, on your paycheck. But when you add the money up, the amount that you're paying into your taxes on your paycheck would actually be less than the money you're getting back because you're not paying a monthly premium anymore. There's no more copays. There's no more deductibles that you have to hit to get the things. You have total access to your health care. So in the long run, you'd actually see somewhere between $3,800 to about $7,000 more in working people's pockets, too. And we know what happens when that happens. Now the next
spend it.
Yeah. There's all these positive things that happen beyond it. We're unleashing an entrepreneurial spirit. We're putting more money in working people's pockets where they can go out and spend it, which means more people are getting hired, which means more neighborhoods are maybe even starting some of those businesses we talked about, a coffee house or an art gallery or whatever. Look, I think we're going to get there. I think we're going to get there much quicker than people think. If you look at the numbers, I think I saw something the other day where it used to be one of the biggest groups that really fought Medicare for All, when you polled it, were doctors. And doctors are over 50% now saying we need a Medicare for All system.
Well, you know
they
why?
Get it.
You know why? Physicians are no longer being physicians. They are negotiating rates with insurance companies.
Correct.
I have a good friend that just retired as a pulmonologist in Mason City, and he said, Michael, I spend 40% of my time on the telephone arguing with insurance companies as to what. Yeah, I'm not being a doctor. They're the ones calling the shots.
We had a great dear friend, but a great activist here in Des Moines, a guy named Scott Galendez. And he moved in to Des Moines to cover the presidential election last time, and he was told that he would be able to carry his health. He had some chronic problems, basically what happened was he had to fight so much for what he needed. His doctor actually said, "You need this a transplant to sustain life." And then what happened was, even though the doctor said it, the insurance company said, no, we're only going to cover dialysis for 3 days a week. We cover dialysis. So you're right. Your point is exactly the problem. A doctor said, this is what my patient needs. And it was the health insurance that said, well, no, but he's going to get this instead. And sadly, and it's one of the reasons I'm going to fight very hard for this. I was there anyway, but when it becomes personal, Scott passed away this last summer. We miss him. But the point is, your point is right on target, is that It should be up to what the medical professionals say their patient needs, and then we should take care of it.
Pete D'Alessandro, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about policy issues. We spent a long time on healthcare, but that's a top-of-mind awareness thing on everybody's mind. How does that play? How does that play? You got 16 counties, three of which are relatively urban. You have Dallas County, you have Polk County, you have Pottawatomie County, and then you have 13 counties that are pretty doggone rural.
Yeah.
How's that play with farmers?
Well, when I'm in the rural parts of the district, in a lot of ways, and maybe this is part of that, which I don't buy into, that rural-urban divide, that sometimes the divide is that you don't realize how much people agree with you because we don't talk to folks enough. If we had a hospital shut down in Des Moines,
yeah, we got two others.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a problem. But we'd figure it out. It would be time out of our – but we'd figure it out. And we don't want that to happen, but we'd figure it out. You lose a hospital in a rural area, people die. People die because of that, because the access to the health care is now so far away that for many reasons. That's obvious. So in rural America, they actually get that. They're affected more by – a healthcare system that isn't providing for our citizens. And in a lot of ways, the heads are nodding very quietly, but the heads are nodding much more when you're in rural parts of our district talking about, I want to provide a Medicare for all system because every one of us deserves to have access to healthcare. And that's really the key. It's access to healthcare is the 30,000 foot thing that people will say, oh, everyone should have access to healthcare. What I'm saying is that you have to have what's the answer to that? And again, I'll put it out there because we have to have the discussion. It's Medicare for all.
Pete D'Alessandro, ladies and gentlemen, let's switch gears, Pete, if we can. One of the things top of mind awareness a lot of people are talking about is firearms, guns, gun rights, a very hot topic issue. We've got about 5 minutes left, Tyler's telling me. So give us the shorter answer on that.
Well, actually, guns is a specific issue that gets to a larger problem. So I'm going to throw a few numbers out at you. Over 90% of Americans believe that we should have a ban on assault weapons. That's what the polls show. Over 80% of Americans believe that we should make it more difficult for our fellow citizens who are struggling with mental health to be able to purchase a gun. Over 80% of Americans believe we should close the gun show loophole. So you got 90%, over 90% that say, yeah, ban assault weapons. There's no nuance there. Over 80% saying those other things. And yet we don't even have a serious discussion about it in the United States Congress. That is because it circles back to the bigger problem is we got to have fundamental campaign finance reform in this country. Because as long as entities like the NRA on this issue, or the other thing we were talking about, Big Pharma on the healthcare issues, are able to own congressmen. And that's what let's be honest about it. They own them. They're able to own congressmen because of the contributions that they can give, because of the super PACs that they will send in, the independent expenditures that they will use to prop them up, that something that 90% of Americans want isn't even discussed. That shows us we need fundamental campaign finance reform. That's the first thing that's going to have to happen before we get to all those other things, which, by the way, I do support. We need to ban assault weapons in this country. We need to close the gun show loophole. And you know what's amazing about that? If you talk to – when you break those numbers down, it's, 80% Democrats say, yes, let's do these things. 55 or 60% of independents say let's do them. But almost half of Republicans say do it. So it's not even like, well, I'm a partisan and I have to keep my base together. This is truly an issue that shows that until we get campaign finance reform in this country, I think that means we got to overturn Citizen United. We're not going to be able to discuss these things seriously because too many of them are owned.
Interesting stuff. Pete D'Alessandro, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's move into the topic of broadband internet, connectivity, economic development in rural areas. We've got it figured out pretty much here in Polk County, Dallas County, and Pottawatomie County. But what do they do down in Madison County?
And it's not it's a great question. I know we've talked about this one before. It's not just about the lack of access. I think the numbers now is in the country, we're only at about 65% of rural areas even have any type of broadband. But in those areas, even when they have it, it's not up to par to what we're using. Well, we may look at Madison. People might have this view of, well, Madison County or Ringgold County, Des Moines. In today's economy, you're putting again, those entrepreneurs that might want to be starting a business, a lot of these businesses are over the internet. You're putting them at a disadvantage. They're not playing with a fair deal there. More importantly,
so they leave those areas,
and more importantly, their kids aren't, because this is how we educate our children now, and so the schools and the teachers are at a disadvantage. Also, there is a bill, and is one that I talk about everywhere I go, because I just think it's a marvelous idea, and again, rural America gets it because they benefited so much from it. There is actually a bill in the United States Congress right now that isn't inventing anything, reinventing anything. It's actually expanding the Rural Electrification Act that Franklin Roosevelt passed like in 1934. And basically, it's just amending it and saying, you know what else is included in this? Broadband. And we're going to have the whole country with broadband by 2024 or 2026. That's how I would like to do it. And I'll tell you, when you talk to people in rural areas, I like to say it's this is a New Deal problem, so we need a New Deal solution. Folks in those areas understand that because they know what the New Deal did for rural America.
We've got just a minute left, Pete. These times go by so fast. You mentioned $15 an hour minimum wage. Go.
I'll tell you what. My biggest thing about $15 an hour minimum wage is there is not a state in this union in which you can get a 2-bedroom apartment if you're making less than $15 an hour. Not one state in the union. Well, who gets those type of apartments? Young families that might want to stay in that community that they grew up in, but they're not quite ready to buy a house. Single parents who are trying to give their kids that dignity we talked about, working hard every day, working 40 hours a week. It seems to me at the very basic, when we follow our better angels, we should have a plan that says we are going to have as many people, if not all of our people, living in dignity. That debate starts at $15 an hour. It is an economic issue. I get that. It's a social justice issue, and that's why I'll fight for it as hard as I can.
Pete D'Alessandro, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't ask. That name isn't that's not Scottish-Irish,
no,
is it?
No, it's just Irish.
Just Irish,
yeah.
Good stuff. Thank you so much, Pete, for doing this.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Michael.
It. All
Thank
right.
You.
His name is Pete D'Alessandro. Ladies and gentlemen, we will have links to his website up on the radio blog for you so that you can find out more about his policy issues. We could have been here all afternoon, I have a feeling. All right, we've got to clear out and make way for what? Thursday. Can you believe it already? Holy cow. We will be back, God willing, tomorrow at about 5 o'clock with more of the Business News Hour. We've got a great show lined up for you tomorrow with our guests as well. AM 940, Monday through Friday at 5 o'clock. All right, for all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, our guest today was Pete D'Alessandro. We were also talking about the regional news, the national news, and the earlier part of the program. It's a great day. Our program director for the radio stations is Patrick Wood. The producer of the Business News Hour is Tyler Hackenmiller. The liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. The music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett exclusively for the Business News Hour. Jimmy Olson is the voice of the Business News Hour, and Jeff Delvaux is the general manager for the Des Moines Radio Group. For all those folks, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening, would you please? Be safe, be well, be careful most of all. And as we say every single evening, be good to your fellow man. Good night.